better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Let's have Matty T over here give us your Morning Rush update.
This is your Morning Rush update. Razorback basketball returns tonight at Bud Walton Arena at 7 p.m. as they take on North Texas Mean Green. Hopefully there are no fake fair catches in this game.
Yeah, seriously. What is it with North Texas teams? Are the soccer teams playing them? Arkansas football played them last year. They have basketball playing. There's just some about the matchups in North Texas. I don't know. Maybe
right out there in Denton.
I don't even know where that's at.
Just north of Dallas.
Oh, okay.
Just outside of Dallas.
Okay. So maybe it's the recruiting grounds. You know, they're trying to get into Texas a little bit there. So, yeah. All right. Well, go Mean Green, I guess. I don't know.
Arkansas AD Hunter Yurecek and interim head coach Barry Lunny Jr. met with the media yesterday. Mm-hmm. Both individuals handled the press conference extremely well, and Barry Lunny wants everybody to know that they will Gomer pile it when it comes to the QB against LSU.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
I had to actually look up what that was.
Yeah.
When he said it. And
oh, really?
Yeah. He said, I had a Gomer Pyle. And I know who Gomer Pyle is, but I didn't.
From Andy Griffith's show.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and then he says, surprise. I was like, all right. I didn't know. I didn't understand the reference there. So, but I'm glad that you had the clip ready. So,
well, nobody could say surprise, surprise, surprise better than Gomer Pyle.
Right. That's true. He did say it as well as you could possibly say it.
And finally, I know we're all excited about this. It's Disney Plus Day.
Nice.
Mickey Mouse's plan for global domination is one step closer to fruition today, as Disney Plus is now available. But more importantly for us sports fans is that for $12.99, the service is bundled with Hulu and ESPN Plus.
Actually, a good deal.
That's pretty cool getting access to ESPN for such a low price.
Yeah.
I'm going to be forking over my money, you know.
Yeah.
But I think we've seen this before in history, and as much as I do not want to support the mouse's rise into a ruthless dictator, I'm comforted in knowing that if he needs to be overthrown, all we need is a really big mouse trap and a lot of cheese. Speaking of cheese, be sure to head to hitthatline.com for all fantastic Morning Rush content and great Razorback coverage with articles, videos, podcasts, and more. Only available at hitthatline.com.
So let me
ask you both a question.
Okay.
I think this is interesting. Y'all have Netflix? You got Netflix?
Yeah.
You got Netflix? Does Disney Plus make you, is it one or the other?
I've already canceled Netflix.
Oh, okay.
I want to check out Disney Plus first. It's one of those things I want to try. I think they have a free trial or something.
I think it's like a week free.
Yeah, I just want to try it out and see it. And maybe, because honestly, I don't watch Netflix as much as I used to.
As Netflix. And Netflix, all you get is their stuff. And it's becoming more and more limited. And a lot of this stuff is moving to Disney Plus now.
Yeah, that's right. So
sell Netflix stuff.
Yeah, go ahead and sell it out there.
All right.
But people are pumped about Disney Plus, which, again, if it's a bundled deal with Hulu and stuff, can't really beat that deal.
Think of how much it used to be just to get ESPN.
Oh, I know.
They would, would it be 10, 15 bucks to add to one of these streaming services?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now
you get it all. So, again, as far as Disney World's world domination, I'm pretty sure they already are dominating the world.
They're going to start you at twice like everything else.
Oh, yeah.
Start you at $12.99. You'll look up, and a year from now, you're paying $25.
Exactly.
What happened.
Yep. And that's Disney to a T right there. If you want to get on the conversation, call or text Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. We've been talking, of course, about Hunter Yurecek and Barry Lunny Jr. and their press conference yesterday with the media. If you head over to hitthatline.com if you want to watch it in its entirety. One of the things that I thought was really interesting, many things, but one of the things is Hunter Yurecek talking about buyouts. And I think that this has been a concern that Razorback fans have had in making the move. It's not like it's necessarily their money that they're. It's like, okay, Hunter Yurecek's not saying, hey, if we're going to fire this coach, you got to fork over $100, buddy. Like, I don't think that they're
Whose money is it then?
Well, I understand, but I'm saying he's not going door to door to the fans saying, hey, give over the money.
Maybe not door to door, but he's going to the right doors.
Yes. But to the common fans that are just hanging out here listening to the show, odds are he's not going to them saying, I need $100 to try to, it's not a GoFundMe page that they're putting together, I guess is my point.
He will be indirectly. You just won't know it.
Well, and he'll be able to be really, I guess, behind the scenes doing it. I don't know how he's doing it. I don't know what he's going to do as far as getting it done. But what I do know is he had this to say about the buyouts.
Well, I mean, the buyout situation throughout college athletics, I don't think is great. I mean, there's huge buyouts in all these contracts. And I did say, I thought that, and I said it in my opening press conference, that losing football games should be a condition for terms of your employment to be nullified. And that's tough to be a pioneer in that, because that hurts your candidate pool moving forward. It has to be an industry-wide change. It can't be one where Arkansas takes the lead on that per se, or it's going to hurt our candidate pool. So I don't see any significant changes in how we do our contracts, and we will pay what we need to pay to get the best person to take this position.
Listen, the system's broken. And it's not broken just at Arkansas. It's broken across the entire landscape of college sports with these buyouts that really are demotivating in a lot of ways, or at least it feels that way at Arkansas, where you've had two coaches get massive buyouts in excess of $10 million. Chad Morris is going to be just a hair over $10 million because of the timing of when he was let go. It would have been $9.8 million, and that's probably the figure many of us have heard, if he had stayed till the end of the calendar year. So he's going to be owed just a hair over $10 million to not be your head football coach. The system's broken, but Hunter Yurecek's right. Arkansas is not going to be the pioneer. Arkansas is not going to be the institution that leads the way to massive sweeping changes across the entire landscape of how college coaching contracts are handled. It just doesn't make sense to anybody, though, anywhere that, hey, you lose, you don't do your job very well, you don't get results, but yet you get 70% of your pay on your way out the door for the remainder of your contract. Unfortunately, John, that's what you've got to do, as Hunter Yurecek properly laid out, to keep your candidate pool where you need it to be to get your next head coach in here.
Yeah, and that's the unfortunate thing, is because the coaches are going to have the power. I mean, they're going to have the power. Because let's be honest, and I'm not saying this would happen with Hunter Yurecek. It could happen anywhere at any time. But say if you're somebody like an Urban Meyer, where you're a hot commodity, the hottest of hot commodities when it comes to coaching that's going to be in this offseason. And if a school came to him and said, all right, we're going to pay you $7 million a year, but we're not going to have a buyout for you. He's not going to agree to that at all. In fact,
because that's not what the market
exactly
dictates.
And in fact, and of course, let me rephrase it. He's not going to agree to it, but his agent for sure is not going to agree to it, because the agent's the one that's wheeling and dealing, the Jimmy Sextons of the world. But if he comes out and if he counter argues with saying, all right, well, I'll take the $7 million, but you have to give me a buyout of $20 million or $30 million or however much, depending on the years of the contract, it then becomes, if you're that athletic director in that university, okay, let's weigh the options here. Are we going to stick with our guns and have our high moral authority and saying, no, it's wrong that you get buyouts, so we're not going to give you one? Or do you just want a great football coach that's going to bring you in millions of dollars with the high level of success he's going to have? I mean, it's just the name of the game.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Arkansas, like I said, is not, if you're going to end up trying to pioneer a new way of writing college coaches' contracts here and see if other schools around the country will get on board, you're going to end up with a candidate here that's probably less than desirable to most of the fan base.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean it wouldn't work out. Doesn't mean you couldn't hire a coach and they come in and say, yeah, I'll come in and get paid by the win. That's what a lot of people think is a fair situation. All right, we're going to give you a base salary of $200,000. All right. Then we're going to pay you $750,000 or $1 million per conference win, $500,000 for non-conference wins. I mean, you know, that's truly working on commission, right? A lot of us work on commission in our jobs.
Yeah.
That's working on commission as a head coach. It's just not going to, I mean, while that sounds good sitting around the coffee table, sounds good at the coffee shop or the barber shop, it's Arkansas is not going to pioneer this way of paying coaches in this industry. But I do think, John, I do think we are at or near somewhere the bubble bursting on all of this. And these coaches' contracts that continue to escalate to 6, 7, 8, 9, we're close to $10 million depending on a bonus year for a guy like Saban. At some point, that bubble's going to burst, and it's going to come back the other way.
Yeah.
We've got to be reaching the ceiling here soon.
Yeah, but at what point, like, what's it going to take for it to change? I mean, is it going to be like an NCAA rule? Is it going to, like, what's going to have to happen for that to change? Because you could say it culturally has to change, but that's easier said than done.
Empty seats. The continued trend of empty seats at college football stadiums. We think it's just at Arkansas. It's not. No. Look around. you know, particularly with just common seating, you know, just the outdoor common seating stadiums, unless you're Alabama, unless you're LSU, unless you're Ohio State, there's a lot of programs right now, John, struggling to fill their stadium. What causes this bubble to burst? Well, it's where the source of the revenue comes. It's the chicken that lays the eggs. It's we, the fans, that buy the tickets. And when we finally reached our limit on the price that has to be charged, the donation that has to be laid out, all the expense that's entailed to enjoy college football the way we've traditionally done it, and we start changing our habits about how we consume this sport, which is in HDTV, 4K TV, in the comfort of our outdoor living spaces and our living rooms, once fans start changing habits, they may not come back to the trough again, even in winning seasons. That's the fear right now, I think, with a lot of people in the position similar to Hunter Yurecek's.
Mm-hmm.
And these coaches' contracts are going to be the first things that get whacked and get cut and slashed when you're trying to make budget.
Yep.
Because these schools are not going to go into a deficit. They're not going to borrow money. They're not going to reach into the coffers of the university to fund athletics.
Nope.
In some places, that would be unconstitutional or illegal. Arkansas has been in a position, they give money to the university. They write a check to the school out of the proceeds of the athletic department. That will be the first thing that goes in a lot of cases. The next big things to go when you start trying to make budget because the ticket sales aren't there, you look at your big ticket items.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the big ticket item within any athletic department? It's the head football coach.
That's right. That's right. And, I mean, that's really at any Power 5 program where more often than not they're going to be the highest paid state employee in a lot of cases.
Right. And Hunter Yurecek spoke of this yesterday that, you know, he had met with his CFO.
Yep.
And they had went over and they felt comfortable that they could make this work, but the money was going to have to come from somewhere within the program. Guess what? I don't know, volleyball, softball, something else is going to lose out as a result of Chad Morris not winning football games. Football, I'm sure, to some degree, is going to lose out on something. Somewhere, some other non-revenue-bearing sport's going to lose as a result of the football team not having success. It's just an unfortunate reality of where you're at.
Yes, it is. A very unfortunate reality. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. David is in South Arkansas. What's going on, David?
Good morning, gentlemen. Y'all are talking about, you know, tickets, ticket prices, and all that good stuff. One problem with the university several years ago, I and a lot of other people I know, we gave up our season tickets because we didn't like that. It's called voluntary contribution to the Razorback Foundation, that seat value extortion, which we called it, to keep your seat in the same place. You pay the ticket office, you give the money to the Razorback Foundation. We tried 1 year. It's like, okay, we don't want the parking permit. Well, then you want your seats moved. I'm like, don't do that to me. Don't force me to make a contribution like that. And that turns a lot of people off. And policies like that need to be looked at as well. Besides simply getting a winning coach and paying him millions when he gets fired. Gentlemen, I've been fired. People have been fired. I didn't get squat when I got fired. But you are dead on, spot on about this contract situation and that needing to change. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it needs to it, change. But, again, Arkansas is not going to be the one that forges away and changes the way the industry does it. I don't like it. You don't like it.
Nope.
None of you listening like it. Hunter Yurecek's made it clear he doesn't like it. But guess what? When you hire a new football coach here in a few weeks, somewhere end of the month, 1st of December, you know, somewhere in that time frame is my guess of when it's going to happen. This coach is going to have a multi-million dollar 5 to 6 year contract that includes a buyout for probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 70% again of the remaining years on their contract.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because that's what the market says you have to pay a coach right now.
Yep. Because even if you look at a place like Texas A&M, for instance, some schools are going to be able to benefit more of it than others. Because Texas A&M have so much money that it's stupid.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe me, just look at Jimbo Fisher's contract.
Yeah.
Where he signed a contract, a 10-year, $75 million contract.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
So if they fire him tomorrow, they owe him 100% of the remaining money. And is his like Sumlin where it's due immediately or within 60 days?
It's within 60 days.
Yeah. They had to give Sumlin, what was it, 7.5 or 12.5?
Yeah, it was like $12.5 million.
Some stupid number.
Within 60 days.
And then he went to coach out west.
Yeah. So it's like to a school like A&M, obviously, the money side of things isn't a huge concern. Or even, I'm sure, some other big schools like the Ohio States or the Michigans or the Alabamas, places that have a lot of success and a huge program, the money's probably not as big of an issue. But then as you start going down the line, if you want to be competitive, and it's not saying that you have to pay a coach $7 million to be competitive. Just look at what Michigan's going through right now, or even Jimbo Fisher at A&M. They're not exactly winning national championships. But just the name of the game right now and being able to bring in a quality coach is you have to kind of go above and beyond and really favor them in these contracts rather than the schools.
And I'm going to tell you, it's getting tougher for people like Scott Verity, John Masco, and Marvin Kasten, and I'm leaving out a bunch of other great names, Dean Weber, that all work at the foundation. Because with the tax code down, being you can't take the deduction in the same manner that we have for years and got accustomed to. You give $10,000. You have the means to write a $10,000 check to the Razorback Foundation. Well, that's not... Then you just turn that into your accountant, and somehow they've mixed it into the formula, and it lowers your tax burden through a income deduction, more or less. Well, those are not allowable deductions anymore.
Nope.
Very limited part of it is allowed in your tax deduction. Well, there takes away a lot of the motivation for these boosters that have once given as a, in order to improve their seating status and to help the program, but really in the end to help themselves to a degree, now that's not there. And that makes it even more difficult to raise money. And that's not just at Arkansas. It's in a lot of places.
Yeah, I know. And that's just how college football in general is working right now. Yeah. I mean, it's again, no one wants to hear it. No one wants to even think about how it's going to change, because it doesn't seem like there's just an answer that you can have on paper, like this is how it's going to change.
Well,
the scary thing, though, and like you just mentioned, Tommy, is that it's been on the up and up with these coaches' salaries and these coaches' contracts. Mm-hmm. At some point, it's going to give.
Yep.
At some point, it's going to be like, okay, we got to scale this back. We got to stop paying coaches these inordinate amount of money.
Brought to you by World of Wireless, 877-305-DISH. That's 877-305-3474. Lock in your price for 2 years right now with World of Wireless. Get a $200 Visa gift card. Installation within 48 hours. Whole home DVR, HD in every room. Movie channels for the first 90 days. If you've tried the streaming thing and it's not working well for you, that's cumbersome to get between channels, you don't like the way you don't have a DVR and all the creature comfort you're used to with a great satellite plan, but you're tired of the rising cost of cable, it's time to call Ben at World of Wireless. 877-305-DISH. All right, what kind of institution? Give me a name or two. If this is ever going to change, the system's going to change, where does it start? Because it's not at Arkansas. As much as we'd like to believe,
it's not going
to
be.
It's at Arkansas. Is it take someone like right now, Florida State? Does it have to be Alabama? Is it Texas? Who is it that's willing? And a lot of these institutions take great pride in what they can pay their coach. Mm-hmm. They take great pride in the contracts they can offer. It's almost like they're measuring themselves against other programs and their greatness and their arrogance, really.
Yeah.
But where does it change? Where does the change have to begin? Because I believe industry-wide sweeping change will come at some point with these coaches' contracts and the way they're done. But it's not going to start in the natural state.
I would say that from each of the Power Five conferences, you have to have the blue blood programs, or at least one of the blue blood programs in each conference to do it. Like, you can't just be one team.
Right.
Because, or even one conference. Because I had somebody tell me yesterday, say, if the SEC started that, I was like, if the SEC started that, then that would be an absolute unfair advantage to where other coaches would start fleeing to other conferences because you can get paid well. But I think that you'd have to have, for instance, in the SEC, Alabama, LSU, Georgia would have to start it. You go to the ACC, Clemson, Florida State, Virginia Tech, schools like that would have to start. Big Ten, Ohio State, Michigan, they'd have to do it. You'd have to have your big programs and your big conference set the standard, but I just don't see that happening.
Taz says, it's like the real estate market. I don't want to pay full price, for the market, but the market demands that right now that is the price. That's exactly right.
Yep.
If you want the prize corner, and you want to be at the corner of Maine and Maine, you know, as they say, here's what the price is.
Yep.
And if you don't want to pay it, somebody else will.
That's exactly right.
That's what the price is. And right now, the price for entrance to get into the college coaching race, if you will, requires that you pay a pretty hefty buyout.
Yeah. And the unfortunate thing about this, too, folks, and I keep having to remind people when everyone was bringing up the money situation, how is Arkansas going to afford this, yada, yada, yada. You don't have to spend $6, $7 million a year on a coach to get a good product on the field. Look at Ed Orgeron at LSU. The guy was making only $3.5 million a year ago.
Was.
Now he's making over four. But my point is that, and that comes with time, and he's earned that. But my point is that you don't have to be Texas A&M and go get Jimbo Fisher for $7.5 million. You don't have to be Michigan and go get Jim Harbaugh for $7 million. You don't have to do that.
Arkansas can't go get a coach like that because you're paying Chad $10. You're going to pay Bielema something, four or five at some point. You got, it looks like Chavis and the rest of the staff's going to have to be bought out at the tune of a couple, $3 million. So, you know, just start adding that up. $10, $5, about $18 million Arkansas is roughly going to be on the hook for. In the near future. Now, Chad's will be paid out monthly over the course of the rest of his contract through, 2023? So it doesn't hit you in a lump sum. But the bottom line is you got that. And then if you want to go get a sitting Power 5 head coach, their contract's going to require some form of buyout. We were talking about Gus yesterday because that's a name that people are already throwing out there. I don't believe Gus at current state with where his record is at this year is a candidate for this job, but who knows? If he gets fired, I think it's $27 million until the end of this year. I think it cost him $7 million to leave there. Tried to look that up. Now, we always get that confused. These buyouts are never mirrored. Rarely. Mm-hmm. Bobby Petrino had a mirrored buyout at Arkansas. That was very unusual.
Jimbo, I think, has one too. No. Jimbo's quite the opposite. Sorry, go ahead.
Most of these buyouts are a lot smaller amount of the coach decides to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a pretty hefty price tag.
Yeah.
Unless that can be negotiated down or out or something.
Yeah.
So, you know, what is the price tag? Is it $1 million? Is it $2 million? Is it more than that? That's going to take some coaches off the table, quite frankly, for Arkansas. Because that money is due generally right away.
Mm-hmm.
So if a coach has a $2, $3, $5, $7 million buyout on their contract, they're not likely a candidate for Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. And see, and that's the thing, Tommy. That's just why you hire Urban Meyer, right? So you don't have a buyout. There's no buyouts for him.
Yeah, I don't know I don't know what the contracted Fox TV is, but yeah.
I'm sure it's a little less, just a little less than what it would be if he was the head coach of Ohio State still. So, but that's the thing is that when you dive into it and you start throwing out these names, just hire this coach or hire that coach. Got to keep into consideration their buyouts too, because they are pretty hefty as well.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. John is in Nashville. What's going on, John?
Hey, guys, I tell you, I'm right on key with Don out of Greenwood a while ago. I mean, it's going to take some money to get a guy to come in here. Number one, are they going to bring a guy in here? Do we expect somebody to come in here that thinks that maybe they're going to get a year and a half? Hey, I'm all for it. But the thing about it, who are we going to get? That's the big thing. And how much money? Because you're going to have to pay them a lot of money to come in here and do this thing. And I just want to know y'all's guy. I mean, who do we think Norvell's going to come in here from Memphis? From the last get around. I mean, I don't see it happening. I mean, there's going to have to be a lot of zeros put on some money, and I don't know where that money's going to come from by the time you get through paying off. I saw the press conference yesterday. I saw that hey, we're going to go out and get the best coach, but who's that going to be? Then when we get them here, is that going to be a guy that's going to after a year and a half we're going to run off? I want to win as bad as anybody, but it's going to take resources. It's going to take money. Is the University of Arkansas, the Board of Trustees, and the foundation willing to do that to bring the right guy in here? We've got to have some stability. You can't expect the next guy to come in here and go a year and a half and expect to be fired. You're not going to get anybody.
Yeah.
I don't care how much money you try to pay them, and it's going to have to take some big donors in there, and I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah. You know, John, one thing to keep in mind, these buyouts, you know, with Bielema's and again with Chad Morris's, these are monthly installments. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make it any easier, but they're interest-free monthly payments, and they can be mitigated or offset by future employment. That's the rub right now with Brett Bielema. Is he's got future employment, but he's not living up to his end of the bargain on doing that. So you may have a reduced amount there. Chad Morris, I don't have a lot of high hopes at this point that you're going to offset a ton of that, maybe some of it with other employment. But again, those are monthly payments. You don't owe him $10 million tomorrow.
You don't write a check.
It's not due in 60 days. That's not how it reads. And if he finds a job as a coordinator, it would offset part of that over the next few years. You're right. You're going to have to pay the next head coach a lot of money. Now, what is a lot of money? You know, is a lot of money $5 million a year, $6 million a year, $7 million? I don't think Arkansas is getting in that conversation. Arkansas will go up and comer before they pay a coach that kind of money, unless it was a household name that became available somehow without a huge buyout. I just don't believe that's what they're going to do. I expect Arkansas's next head football coach, and it really just depends on who it is, but it won't surprise me if they're paying him between $4 and $5 million a year.
Well, let me ask you this.
Because that's kind of going right. That's not even top three money in the division.
Well, let me ask you, let's have some fun with this. Because you mentioned about how they have to pay up and unless it's a household name coach. Because let's be honest, the coach you're talking about when it comes to a household name one and no buyout two is somebody like Urban Meyer.
Right. Let's just someone's be on the beach.
Yeah, that's right. Someone
or
like
someone that's has an unstable situation where they're at.
So let me,
which might be Gus.
So let me ask you. How much money is Urban Meyer worth a year?
Would Urban Meyer, in just his presence, with all the baggage that came along with it, fill the stadium next year?
Yes, 100%.
First of all, would Urban Meyer be willing to come to Arkansas? My thought on that is no.
No, of course not.
He would not be.
But let's live
in a fantasy world for a
minute.
All right, Urban Meyer would love to be the next head coach of the Razorbacks. He didn't even know who the coach of the Razorbacks was a couple months ago.
But now he wants to be one.
But now let's just assume he wants to be one.
Yeah.
Is he worth $7 million a year?
Yes.
I think so because, I mean, just start figuring up. How many empty seats do you have now? How many unsold seats do you have right now? Pretty clear you got about 25,000 a game.
A ton.
All right. Well, let's just, I just happen to have one of these phones here that has a calculator on it.
Oh, one of the new phones, huh?
Yeah, yeah. What's average ticket price? About $65.
Yeah.
Let's just use that as a rough number.
Okay.
All right. That's $1.625 million a game. How many home games are they going to have next year, John?
Eight? Seven? Eight? Something like that?
Let's just I got the schedule over here. Let's just use seven right now. I think
okay,
it's eight.
Okay.
That's $11.3 million, almost $11.4 million. If you sold 25,000 more seats.
It is seven games, by the way.
Okay, to seven games next year, if you sold 25,000 additional seats at $65 a seat.
It would pay for itself.
On average. And I think some of those seats would go for more. Some would might go a little bit less. But let's just use that. I'm just spitballing a number here.
That's fun. That's what makes it fun.
So let's just say I'm off. Let's just say, well, Kraft, your calculations are off 20%. All right, fine. 0.8, 9.1 million. You wonder why Chad Morris doesn't have a job? It's that calculation right there.
Mm-hmm.
It was too expensive. It's far too expensive to keep a coach in here that keeps eroding the fan base, eroding the attendance. There's why Chad Morris is no longer your head coach. Yeah, he's losing games. Yeah, the players had no faith in him. He had lost the locker room. He'd lost, I think, the faith and confidence of a lot of his staff as well. 25,000 unsold seats next year for seven games is worth about $10 million at $65 a seat.
There's your answer.
Yeah. No more calls, please. We have a winner.
Yeah. So, hey, since we're playing out this fun scenario, we'll go back to the phone lines here in just a second.
Is Urban Meyer worth it?
Yes.
Tell me, math's math.
And again, we don't know where his mindset's at.
I don't think he's a candidate job.
Though. No. But and we don't know where his mindset's at. We don't know what he's looking for or what. But since we're playing out this fantasy scenario, could Arkansas afford that? Could they afford that contract? Because I know you laid it out, Tommy. You said, you know, this many season tickets be that much more money per game, which is, you know, you can't deny the facts.
Mm-hmm.
But if Urban Meyer says, yeah, I'll come to Arkansas, but you got to pay me $8.5 million a year.
Yeah.
Could Arkansas afford that?
Bear man on Facebook Live says, hey, and that's just tickets. That didn't include donations. That didn't include
concessions.
That didn't include all the other ancillary income. So,
But could, if he said that he wanted $8.5 million, could Arkansas, a place like Arkansas, this university afford that?
I just ran you the numbers. Could Arkansas afford not to do it? That'd be my response.
And that's the whole question.
Again, I think you're living in a fantasy world if you think that's going to happen. But who is the kind of coach that could sell 75,000 tickets next year? Stadium holds, what, 76,000?
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to sell quite that many because you got to give the visitors and conference play 7,500. But you got students and all. I mean, but hell, you've gotten to the point where the students aren't coming to the games. It was embarrassing how low the student attendance was.
Jesus came to the game, apparently, as he was pictured.
But you've got to get back to the point where you're selling, you know, 20,000 more. I think there's roughly probably 25,000 unsold seats, because even at its best, he had a paid attendance the other day, what, 42,000?
Yeah.
I mean, just do the math. That's over 30,000 unsold seats.
Mm. Hmm. Hey, listen, that's why you run this company, Tommy, because you know the numbers.
Well, I mean, it's all a math equation.
Yeah.
It's all a math equation.
Yeah. No, it makes sense, and that's what it's nice to have it laid out, and for fans who are trying to understand how it all works and what it all takes. I mean, numbers speak for themselves.
25,000 seats at $65 a seat, and we're just using a rough average there on face value, is $1,625 a game.
Mm-hmm.
Just over
just
a million
on that
seats.
Piece of paper to get into the stadium.
And there's 7 home games next year. That's $11.375 million. Doesn't include a donate. So I don't know. The fan base has been so jaded. The fan base has been crapped upon for 7 years.
Putting it mildly.
I don't know that you can get 25,000 new customers to come to the ticket window. I really don't know. Even if you hired the biggest name out there is Urban Meyer. Even if you were able, and Arkansas is not going to pull this off.
No.
So don't misunderstand what we're saying.
Hogville's blowing up already.
Don't misunderstand us. I just don't know that there enough fans out there that would trust what's happening. Perhaps that'd be, it'd be a fun thing for us to sit here and watch unfold. But you've got to get someone that can get half of that back through ticket sales, get you back to having 65,000 to 70,000 there for most games.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
Will fill the stadium though is winning. It doesn't matter who you bring in. If they don't win, they're not going to stay.
Fans
aren't going to stay.
That's right. Because if you look at what was Arkansas's most highest attended games and had the best percentages, is when they were winning with Petrino. Simple as that. So it's Toyota Tuesday here on the Morning Rush. Be sure to check out all new 2019 Toyota vehicles at your local Arkansas Toyota dealer, including the Highlander with plenty of room up to 8 people, the stylish new Corolla, the work-ready family Tough Tundra, and the Go Anywhere 4Runner. Toyota, let's go places. And let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Terry is in Hackett. What's going on, Terry? You with us, Terry? Aw, Terry, come on now. All right, let's go to David in Fort Smith.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Of course.
I got to say, not being an Arkansas fan, I think the rush to hire somebody hurt Arkansas last time. Just be honest with yourself. Whoever you hire, I heard the evening show last night, Ruskin and Zach saying, they'll have somebody hired the day after the Missouri game so that they can have somebody in time for the early signing. Be honest with yourself. How good is this early signing going to be anyway if you get somebody, whoever it is, short of Urban Meyer? And I know you were just speculating or fantasizing on that. So I think, as a non-Arkansas fan, if the Arkansas fans would just accept this early signing is a wash. So you wait till you can get somebody that's going to make a difference and hope he gets some good signing in the late signings, and then hope that the next season he gets some real good signings. And as far as the ticket sales, it takes one good win. Kansas State lost a 37-game winning or sellout streak in their first two home games this year. Kansas State beat Mississippi State. I'm a fan of Kansas State, but they beat Mississippi State. The rest of the games are instantly sold out.
Yeah.
They sold the games out. So that's all it really takes. And again, thanks for taking my call. Have a nice day.
Yeah. That's one thing to sell your tickets once the season begins. That's great. But you got to sell season tickets to get the donation.
That's right. That's the donations.
Yeah, because when you sell them at the ticket window during the season, they don't get the donation then.
Yeah, and I hear what you're saying, David. And I think that the early signing period is just a factor. I would rather have Hunter Yurecek take more time and forget about the signing period if it meant the right hire. But let's be honest, if the early signing period didn't exist, you'd want somebody in sooner rather than later, but there wouldn't be such a time crunch. You don't want to rush, but you also don't want to wait too long.
Right. We got more audio. We hadn't even scratched the surface. We got Tom Murphy coming up in a few minutes. We got to get you a hog update here in just a minute. So we're going to get to a lot of this. Hang on for hour three. We got a lot of this audio to get to. But he talked about having a longer runway yesterday was how he put it.
Mm-hmm.
Gives him a longer runway. I don't know when they're going to have a coach in. My guess is sometime between the final game and December 5th, 6th, 7th, somewhere. That's generally, if you look back historically, when coaches have been hired. Mm. First few single-digit days of December.
Yep, yep.
And I wouldn't expect this one to be a whole lot different.
Yeah, I even said is it the 30th? Is that when is the Missouri-Arkansas mm-hmm. game, I believe? I know it's the last Friday.
29th.
29th, okay. Well, a week from then, within that span, I believe, is when Arkansas will have their next head coach. So, yeah, that goes along with your theory.
29th is on that Friday.
Okay.
The next Monday, I wouldn't surprise me if something filtered out Sunday the 1st of December, Monday the 2nd, somewhere in that week between the 1st and the 6th would be my guess.
I'm just telling you right now, Tom. Urban Meyer was spotted at the Stuttgart Airport.
Tell me he was at the Powerhouse.
No. Oh, yeah, the Powerhouse. Yes, the secret meeting.
Yes.
Secret meeting at the Powerhouse. Nobody knows.
Yes.
Hogville, you better drive over there right now. Get ahead of the story. Man, see, I you never want to see a coaching search in badly, but the coaching search part of it is always fun.
But let me tell you mentioned Stuttgart. A lot of good business deals. A lot of big deals have gone down in Stuttgart this time of year during duck season.
Yes, that's right. That's right. I don't know if
I don't know if Hunter Yurecek duck hunts, but might be a place to have a good secret meeting.
My guess would be it would probably be like he did with Musselman. They'll fly somewhere completely remote where nobody else can track them. Even though Tommy, I don't know if you saw my tweet yesterday, but I put together a plane tracking task force team.
I'm not on the task force, am I?
No.
All right.
Are you a plane tracker?
Well, I could be. Oh. You know.
Well, I got guys that are experienced experts, and they like you should see the group text. It has a bunch of numbers of planes and flights. They got all of the big donors and boosters. They got their flight numbers and their tail numbers and all that. So
awesome.
I have it locked down. I am your go-to man when it comes to flight tracking.
All right.
To let you know, I'll keep everybody updated as the weeks come on. Let's now go into your hog update here on the Morning Rush.
Arkansas football. It's the players running through the A. Hog hats. It's more than 70,000 fans calling Woo Pig Suey.
It's a great day to be a Razorback.
Guys, I've got just one thing I want to say to you.
Touchdown, Arkansas!
Arkansas wins the national championship! The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season!
This is your Hog Update on the Morning Rush.
All right, it's time for your Hog Update, presented by Ozark Sportsman Supply.
Hey, Christmas is just around the bend, and Santa knows that the Ozarks is the place to go to get everything for everyone on your shopping list this year. All the best brands, firearm brands like Benelli, Glock, Smith & Wesson, Nighthawk, Daniel Defense, and many more. Great clothing and footwear brands from Columbia, Blowfish, New Balance, Twisted X, Ariat, Drake, Carhartt, and many more. So don't miss out on that. Plus, don't forget their great indoor firing range, 15 lanes of great target practice, the best range in Arkansas with over $250,000 upgrade recently to their facilities. Hey, why go anywhere else? It's all under one roof. Do all of your shopping this holiday season for you and your family at the Ozarks. Ozark Sportsman Supply and Ozark Outpost Casual Clothing and Footwear. Highway 412, barely out of Springdale and Taneytown.
So for your hog update, it was announced officially that Arkansas and LSU and Baton Rouge, Death Valley, it's a night game on ESPN. 6 p.m. kickoff for Arkansas and LSU.
This is what happens when you're playing the number one team in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So they put number one in prime time.
And I'm not saying this is a main factor, but you got to admit there might be a slight factor of the, interim thing with Barry Lunny in Arkansas and seeing how that goes.
Something else to play out. I don't know if how much more that brings in. I just know that when you're the number one team in the country and you're not going to be in the 230 CBS spot, ESPN wants the number one team in the country on their air.
I wouldn't know what that's like, Tommy. I wouldn't know what that's like.
Well, I know.
None of us would. But, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how this next 2 weeks plays out and that game for Barry Lunny Jr. and his debut as head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks in the interim tag. So that was named. Also, Mason Jones, since Razorback basketball returns tonight, but Mason Jones was named SEC co-player of the week from this past week for scoring 32 points against Rice as well. So big performance out of him. And I know we haven't talked much about basketball, but they do return tonight against North Texas in Bud Walton Arena.
And how much even tomorrow? I mean, it's not a big game tonight. It's the second game of the season. It's a non-conference game. But I'm just wondering how much our audience tomorrow wants to hear about that basketball game versus continued discussion about where this football program is at right now.
I guess we're just going to have to balance it out and get a feelers out there for it. Because here's the thing. Like, we've been talking about a lot of this Eurocheck stuff. We haven't even gotten a lot of the Eurocheck stuff, or at least most of it. And then we haven't even gotten into Barry Lunny. So we may have to. It may be a two-show deal when we're really breaking this all down. So, but we'll talk about the basketball game too. Don't worry, folks. But
I'm all for it.
Yeah, but but there's just so much going on, and it's great for our business, and it's fun for us because we get to have to where it's almost like you just roll in, and hey, we got plenty to talk about and plenty to discuss with a lot of you. So it's a lot of fun. But we're gonna have it all going on here on the Morning Rush.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins, straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
And a lot of things we've been discussing today, specifically Hunter Yurecek, the athletic director for Arkansas, as well as Barry Lunny Jr., the interim head coach, as they met with the media yesterday. And, of course, if you want to watch that entire press conference, head over to hitthatline.com. But right now, let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline and welcome in Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette that's going to help us break it down this morning. Good morning, Tom. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. Eager to join you guys today.
Well, we're eager to have you on because there's a lot of stuff that we want to get into. And let's just start with your takeaway from that press conference yesterday. I felt like, given the circumstance, given the situation, that Yurecek and Barry Lunny Jr. both did great jobs in handling it and how they kind of speaking to the fan base. I think they offered some confidence and some leadership. What were some of your main takeaways from the press conference with both of those guys?
All the above. And I'm not sure if either guy was looking at notes. And so the things that Hunter Yurecek said, talking about all the, you know, the conference championships and All-Americans and bowl history and all that kind of stuff, were just things that he knows or, you know, has memorized or just has it in his mental reservoir to tap into. And I thought he was very well spoken. Of course, Barry Lunny has always been that way. Just a pleasure to talk to. He talks in complete sentences, and he addresses the people he's talking to, and he made, hey man, alone the Gomer Pyle reference was a keeper right at the end of his press conference, and you know, he referenced the movie The Edge and some other things, and just a breath of fresh air, and I think he's the right guy for the program right now.
Hunter Yurecek traced back kind of the unraveling, if you will, of this season to the second half of the Kentucky game, and it looked as though, from his comments, that the Mississippi State game and the wide margin of victory for Mississippi State was really kind of what set the wheels in motion for this change. Your thoughts on that analysis by Hunter Yurecek, and is that in your estimate where it all started to come unraveled, was back at Kentucky?
Yeah, it's the question that I had asked him, because there were times, even after the San Jose loss, where Hunter Yurecek said, there's things internally in this program that are right, that are going in the right direction. We're just not getting the results. And then it was after that Kentucky game where, you know, the results were different and the locker room felt different. And maybe there is a rift between the older guys and the younger guys. And the coaching staff just wasn't setting up the players in enough positions to be successful. And I do agree, if they had beaten San Jose State and they had hung on and or scored late and, you know, won in dramatic fashion and beaten Kentucky first game with Lynn Bowden at quarterback, you know, they would have I would argue that they probably could have then won either Mississippi State or Western Kentucky. They could be here at 5-5 right now, and the fans relatively excited that they've got a chance to win one game and be bowl eligible. And so it didn't happen. Here's the most telling comments from yesterday, and I put them way high in my story, is that Hunter Yurecek's expectations for the team this year were just to show improvement and be competitive week in and week out. And these last four games have shown that they were not competitive, and therefore he had to make the call. I mean, it would have been a kind of a social media meltdown, and it really already was, had he not pulled the trigger on Chad on Sunday.
Speaking with Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette right now on the Morning Rush via the Cherokee Casino Hotline. You know, Tom, another thing that stood out to me from what Yurecek had to say when he was talking about the buyout, because I think that's been something that's been a concern for Razorback fans, wondering, you know, who's going to pay for all this? How is this going to get funded? And it seemed like from Hunter Yurecek, he was quite confident. It's like, hey, it's fine. We got it taken care of, and we're going to make sure we honor Chad Morris's contract completely.
Yep, that's the way he made it sound. I mean, it's a monthly payment. I think it's through some point in 2023. It's roughly about $10.1 million, and he sounded very confident about it. We could go into a lengthy exposition right now about buyouts, and I don't know how it's gotten to this point, but it's madness that the coach can get paid, in Chad Morris's case, $3.5 million, and then if it goes sour, they get this huge package beyond that. The salaries is good enough. But as Hunter Yurecek pointed out yesterday, it's hard to be the pioneer on that because it hurts you in who you can attract. The agents that represent the coaches basically have the upper hand on this right now because everyone else is doing it. But I do think at some point college football's long-term viability from a financial standpoint must revolve around more sane buyout situations. And I don't know what it's going to take to turn it.
Yeah.
I mean, Hunter Yurecek sounds like he could be a leading light on that, but you got to get more ADs in there to follow you.
Yeah, Arkansas is not the institution that's going to forge the way to change the way business is done in college sports, unfortunately. And these deals are not fair to both sides. That's the bottom line, is they're not fair to the schools, and they're not fair to the fan bases that end up ultimately picking up the tab when it all falls apart. Let's move to Barry Lunny. What's mission 1, 2, and 3 here? What's job 1, 2, 3 on this bye week and getting ready for a tough assignment going to number one? I mean, coming right out of the gate, number one LSU at night. What's he got to get done these next couple of weeks? What's most important, Tom?
You know what? I think the first order of business is just restore some passion. Play with passion. Play for each other, lay it out on the line. You know, the film doesn't lie. Go out there and put on film what you want people to think of you. Because Chad Morris has pointed out in the last couple of weeks, when things have really turned south, how young they are and how unfortunate it was that they had to play so many young guys. Well, there's a lot of other teams playing young guys. So get it out of them. You know, inspire them to play their best football. That's number one. I don't know. He was asked, will there be scheme changes? And as he pointed out, you can't make wholesale changes. You've been practicing things throughout this season. And so I just think they have to be sharper with their execution. Hone in on a few things that the guys that you're going to roll with can do and execute them better. And the quarterback situation, you know, not that it's some great advantage, but as Barry Lunny said on the Gomer Powell reference, they're going to get down there and surprise, surprise, surprise with their quarterback. It could be any of the four, yeah. Still, really. KJ Jefferson, everyone's excited about him, and his running prowess does give them the dual threat. But you saw he was a little bit anxious on some of his throws, and when you're hyped up, they go high, and that's what happened on, and they go fast. And the one that ricocheted off Burks' hands for the pick six was, you know, really hot pass, and some of his others were high. And that's just a freshman, you know, like getting his first rep. So yeah. They've got to get good quarterback play, just good, steady quarterback play to have a chance. And then obviously tighten things up on defense. Yeah. It's really been disconcerting how easy it has been for other teams to get the edges on Arkansas. And the third and fourth down conversions for Western Kentucky and Ty Story told the story in the first half the other day.
In your opinion, your estimation, what is the working relationship like between Barry Lunny and Joe Craddock? And with Barry being a former quarterback, how I think he's a at least an offensive coordinator in the making and probably should have been given an opportunity sooner. Who runs this offense moving forward for these last two games, Joe Craddock or Barry Lunny?
Well, the working relationship is that Joe Craddock is Chad Morris's guy, and Barry Lunny is an Arkansas guy who is here to keep the class together and, you know, recruit Arkansas and all those types of things. Barry Lunny has got to be able to imprint his favorite stuff, the things that work, he thinks works the best within the framework of the offensive scheme right now. And I think for both of their professional interests, they need to work together. And Barry said that Joe Craddock will continue to call the plays and he will have some input. So I think that's it. You don't have a lot of time to make some revolutionary changes. And I would think that he'd be on the headsets suggesting things and talking about trends in the game and what the defense is doing and give suggestions to Joe Craddock. And he has the ultimate call now.
All right, Tom, I got to ask you this because I think this is what everybody's asking. I'm sure you get tweets about this every day. But just in your mind, realistically, what are some names that Arkansas should look at for the next head coach? Who do you think that they could get? How much do you think they're willing to spend? What's your overall feel for that?
Yeah, no. What they're willing to spend is a great question because, you know, they were prepared to pay Gus Malzahn before the Chad Morris hire. Upwards of $5 million, I don't know. It just depends on how big the name is. What I do think, Hunter Yurecek, as he showed in the hiring of Eric Musselman, I think is going to do a bang-up job at identifying a guy who will come in and be passionate about leading the Razorbacks. I think there's going to be some stealth candidate that nobody's really talking about. Don't know who that is, but I think there will be one, and I don't know if he'll get the job. I think guys like Mike Norvell make a ton of sense. Guys like Mike Lee, who I would love to see play in the SEC, make sense. And all the other names that you hear, the Willie Fritz guy at Tulane, interesting. I don't know. I hear the music playing, but there's a lot of candidates, and we can talk about them later.
Yes or no, is Sam Pittman in the equation anywhere?
I do not know. It would be a leap for him to be be his first head coaching job, but I think he's a wonderful guy and a great recruiter.
Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Appreciate it, Tom. We'll catch up with you on Thursday. All right, my man?
You betcha. All right.
All right, thank you. That was Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. All guests join us via the Cherokee Casino Hotline.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Gary's in Fort Smith. What's going on, Gary?
Hey, guys. Talking about our next coach, in my opinion, I don't think any of the more well-known names are coming, like Norvell, Leach, or Gus. I think one look at our 2020 schedule is they're going to say no thanks. I do think, however, that these three categories are where the coach is going to come from, and I'll just use some names to represent those. Number one, Sam Pittman, great recruiter, renowned throughout college football as a offensive line coach. God knows that's where we need so much help. But he represents maybe where a pool of potential candidates are. Number two, the coach, I don't want to butcher his name, but Appalachian State.
Brinkwitz.
Yeah, an up-and-comer who's taken lower-level talent, if you will, 1, 2, 3 stars, and competed and went into South Carolina to beat them. And then number three, who's to say if Arkansas goes down to Baton Rouge and it's a well-played, hard-fought game, and we actually come out the next week and beat Missouri, that Barry Lunny's not a candidate. So to me, those are the three areas that of the pool of people we're realistically looking at. It's not any of those other names that everybody's throwing about. I just don't think any of those are coming. Yeah. Just simply based on where we are and what our schedule is and what the rebuilding effort has to be. And that's just where I stand on it.
Yeah.
And I'll get your feedback.
You know, you mentioned Lunny. That's an interesting name. Now, when you look back at the history of Dabo Swinney, now, when he was elevated to head coach at Clemson in 2008, there were six games left in the year. It's a whole different situation than having 3 weeks and two games left in your season to kind of show what you can do. But he was a relatively unknown wide receiver coach, wasn't the coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
There were two coaches on staff at the time when Tommy Bowden was let go. They were coordinators that had head coaching experience, one at South Carolina, one at Wyoming. But they chose Dabo Swinney to kind of keep the locker room together, to get the locker room together and keep recruiting going. And obviously he did well in the balance of that schedule. He had six games to kind of show what he could do, and then the rest is history. I'm not saying that Lunny's got that opportunity here to kind of make the rest history and that this program's on the doorstep of becoming Clemson in this dark hour mm-hmm. that we find the program. But what I am saying is you can find greatness in a simple wide receiver coach that everybody else is overlooking, because that's where Dabo Swinney started.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that it's got to be a proven name to have success, it's got to be a household name in order to be successful, is not always true. Coaches know coaches. And that's what Hunter Yurecek has got to figure out, is who can coach? You know, who can run a program? Who can motivate players? Who can recruit players? Who can develop players? I know this. The list you just gave there, I don't think that if you're in a situation where Mike Norvell's not going to even be interested in talking to you and your program, you got bigger problems as a program right now.
Yeah.
I can understand Gus and Urban Meyer and some of these guys, but if Mike Norvell is not truly a candidate for you, then that's a big problem.
Yeah. I mean, listen, aim for the stars. Start up at the very top and make them say no to you. And because here's the thing, I will be honest. And, you know, people are going to come out and they're going to give their names and all that. I have no idea where Hunter Yurecek is at with being in contact with coaches and with agents on who's interested in this job. It could be that there are big time names out there that are interested. It could be that none of them are interested. But it's just, we don't know. We don't know the situation. We don't know enough about Hunter Yurecek and the relationships that he has and the connections that he has to know one way or the other.
What we do know is he was able to hire a pretty good basketball coach that wasn't on anyone's radar.
Right. That's right.
Was Musselman on anyone's radar when this job came open? I don't think so.
No, because he kept hearing about Kelvin Sampson
yep.
was, you know, with all the names. So who knows? Maybe something similar comes out of left field, doesn't really see it coming, and then ends up being a great hire that everyone's excited about. So
I just hate the speculation, just the unfounded, rampant speculation. I was complaining about this yesterday. Maybe I ought to save this for my scrub here in a minute. But, you know, within minutes of the announcement, and ESPN puts it on the bottom line there, and they name Gus and Mike Norvell as the top targets. Where do you make it? I mean, that's just...
it's just throwing things just up against the wall.
Exactly.
Seeing if it sticks. Yeah. I don't get it either. It's more for just, I guess, the headline and for purposes
to have something to put on TV.
Yeah, that'd be my only thing. So I tell you what, let's go ahead and jump it right into Scrubs and Dubs here on the Morning Rush.
Some people were born to get dubs.
I'm hollering loud because I can back up every word. And I'll whoop any man in the world. And I want everybody out there on TV to know it. I am the greatest.
Others were born to be scrubs.
These guys, I don't know if we're going to be able to beat anybody this year.
Don't listen to him, Hank. He's a loser.
Good thing we get to decide who gets dubs and who's the scrubs on the Morning Rush.
That's right. It's Scrubs and Dubs here on the Morning Rush, brought to you by Williams Tractor.
Yeah, right now as the counter winds down, Williams Tractor's winding up the savings during the True Blue Savings event that's going on right now at Williams Tractor. Take advantage of 0% financing, cashback savings, and other year-end specials on select New Holland tractors, hay and forage products, and material handling equipment. Get in on all the True Blue Savings now at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville, Berryville, or Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas in Rogers.
Do you want to start with scrubs or dubs? Do we want to be positive? Do we want to be negative? Which
end
one?
End on a negative. Let's end on a high note, rather. Let's start with scrubs and go to our dubs.
Start with scrubs. Fair enough. I think that's... we do that in What's Your Beef, so let's try to switch it up a little bit. All right. As far as scrubs go, this one was actually tough for me because I think that with, you know, the Razorback program and everything that happened was kind of an easy target there. And I don't want to kick a man while it's down, but I do want to give my scrub award to Chad Morris. And it has nothing to do because he's a nice guy. I think he was a professional. I think that he was just a guy that was not fit for the job. And it's just unfortunate because of the, I think, of some of the things that is starting to come out on how things were handled, some of the indecisiveness, and the situation you find your program in right now and how awful it is, where you're talking about folks where in the span of not even two seasons, you have lost to Colorado State, North Texas, San Jose State, and Western Kentucky, all within a 20-game span. 22-game span, I guess it is. But still, it's as low as it can go. And it was an awful situation. It was awful across the board. There was never a good time. There was never a good feeling. There was never good moments. It just wasn't meant to be. And it's just unfortunate. So I got to give my scrub award to Chad Morris. He'll get another job. He's getting paid right now. But nowhere in my mind would I've ever dreamed that it would ever be this bad, this quick, under Chad Morris. So I got to give him the scrub award this week.
Could go with the defense here. You know, that was a pretty big scrub. Could go with South Carolina losing to Appalachian State.
Yeah.
Over the weekend. You don't get many chances, though, to pile on Alabama and the way that they play. But I thought it was really a good football game. There's a lot of, but I'm going to go back to what I saw about a minute ago.
Okay.
Threw Alabama in there because rarely do you get to kick Alabama because they're rarely down. So throw that in there for a second. Again, I go back to just the unfounded, rampant speculation in this coaching search that began with the national media. And then some of these national media guys that were just jumping in right at the, you know, after the announcements had been made, after Channel 5 and Bobby Swofford and KATV had more or less broke the story this was going to happen, you know, because they had the inside scoop with the fact that the coaches show wasn't going to run that night.
Yep.
And then, you know, all these national media, oh, my sources are telling me that Chad Morris has been fired. Dude, story broke 20 minutes ago. There's about three of those out there. But then to just throw out rampant speculation that Gus Malzahn will be the top target. I don't know where this stuff comes from. And all it does is make the situation more difficult for Hunter Yurecek to truly get the candidate in here that I think is going to please the fan base. That's going to unify a fan base. Because right now we need a fan base that's unified. And the only thing they're unified on was firing Chad Morris. That's the only thing I've seen this as a unfractured, unified fan base about. This was like a unanimous 100% decision.
Yeah. Not even a simple, like, small minority that was coming up and saying anything about it. It was easy decision.
As I said on Twitter, sir, some decisions just make themselves.
That's right. That's right.
You know, give Hunter Yurecek credit for carrying it out, but this was not a hard decision.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not sit around like there was hand-wringing into the midnight hour trying to figure out, well, what should we do with Chad Morris, you know? This was an easy call.
Yeah, it really was. But the thing is, though, for my dub, I'm going to have to give it to Hunter Yurecek. Just for this press conference yesterday, not because he made the decision to fire him, because like you said, it was a very easy one. But in his handling of the press conference yesterday and the fact that he answered every question, he didn't dodge anything, he didn't get you just a lot of political talk crap. He was very upfront and honest about the process. He went specifics where it was like, yeah, after the second half of the Kentucky game is kind of when I started to see the change and it spiral out of control from there. It was after the conclusion of the Western Kentucky game when I went over to the chancellor's house straight afterwards and got the approval to make a change. He was very specific in his timeline. He was very specific in the reasons of why he felt like that was the case. And he was also very professional in it all as well. And we're still trying to figure out a lot of things about Hunter Yurecek. But considering how he's handled some of the biggest decisions and the fact that he's had to fire a men's basketball coach, and he's going to have to do the same with football. He's done a great job with basketball. Can he do the same with football? Time will tell. But there's no doubt that he is handling this so far the right way. And I think Razorback fans can at least find some confidence in knowing that, hey, with him at the helm as of right now, you can feel pretty good about who your next coach is going
to
be.
Let me just add to yours. I got my own here in a minute, but right. Let me add on. I've had several people that have sent me the email, you know, that they sent to Hunter Yurecek.
Yeah.
Because these, and I get it. You're frustrated out there. You wanted change and you wanted your voice and your opinion to be heard. And I know two or three people that sent Hunter Yurecek a very sharp, very direct, some of it profane laced emails.
Yeesh.
To the athletic director, because you've sent them to me. And here's the thing I've been most impressed about. He responded.
It's pretty impressive.
Now, it may be an administrative assistant that had two or three versions because these were very generic. Hey, we appreciate you reaching out and telling us your feelings, and we hope that in the coming days, weeks, and months ahead, you'll continue your support of the student athletes, the university, yeah, blah, 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 blah.
Hope this day serves you
but
well.
But at least he has a system in place that when you send him an email upset about the situation, you get a response from him.
Yeah.
And he may not know anything about it, and I'm okay with that. But at least he's got a system set up where somebody is responding to these nasty emails he's been getting.
Yeah.
That to me is shows that, hey, you're not out of touch, at least a little bit with your fan base.
He's making the effort. That's all I can take.
Got to give a dub to the LSU Tigers, right?
That's a great one.
Going into Tuscaloosa, beating Alabama.
Eddie O, baby. Eddie O.
Got to give Ed Orgeron and those LSU Tigers a dub this week. So, big time. I was watching a little bit of McElroy and Marcus Spears' show. I was at Thinking Out Loud.
Yeah.
And pretty good show. I hadn't watched a whole lot of them, but I thought it was funny last night because you had, of course, an Alabama guy with McElroy and Spears being an LSU guy, really giving each other the needle. So I thought that was a whole lot of fun last night to watch some of that. And LSU deserves all the credit in the world. And you hope this week they don't just gag against Ole Miss, which is a really an underrated rivalry around this league.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think it will happen, but you don't want to be celebrating too far into the week.
But you're hoping that they gag against Arkansas the next week, is if they're going to gag. Yeah, if they're going to do it. But no, that's a great dub because Eddie O and LSU, I mean, listen, they have responded to the call every single time. They have always felt like they were down, that they maybe weren't going to be counted on because of Ed Orgeron and the suspect of him being a coach. But they went to Texas and won. They played Florida and won. They played Auburn and won. And now they went into Tuscaloosa with the president of the United States being there. That's just a crazy atmosphere and won. Can't get more impressive than that.
I'll give you another dub from the weekend. Ty Story.
Yeah.
22 of 32, 213 yards. You talk about a story with redemption on it. Was told that basically, hey, we need another quarterback in here. You're not getting the job done. We're bringing Ben Hicks in. He leaves, goes elsewhere, and basically comes in and fires his former coach. That's essentially what happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
He came in, won the game, and his former coach got fired.
Yep. It's a redemption story of sorts, if you will.
You can't help but like Ty's story.
Yeah.
You can't help but like the family. And, hey, he needed to go somewhere where he could play. You can't blame him for that. Yeah. And you got to give him a dub from the weekend for his performance.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, Matty T, do you got a scrub or a dub you want to throw in here?
Well, mine are both from the same story here.
Okay,
perfect. We're all fans of Jeopardy. It's probably been on as long as we've been alive.
Tournament of Champions is on right now.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And at the Tournament of Champions, so first I'll start off my scrub, which scrub means it's bad.
Correct.
Is to cancer,
we got that part,
cancer in all forms, because Alex Trebek has been battling stage 4 pancreatic cancer. So my scrub is to that. But my dub is to this contestant, that Dhruv Garrar, who was playing in the Tournament of Champions, and he had $2,000, and it was Final Jeopardy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets the question, and when it goes to his answer is, "What is We Heart Alex?" And Alex Trebek gets choked up there. And this was filmed back in September when he had made the announcement. I just thought that was a real sweet sentiment.
Yeah.
And so he's my dub today, and also Alex Trebek.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is it's sad because, you know, Alex Trebek's meant so much for so many reasons, but also just a guy that's been around and been the Jeopardy show host. And of course, Jeopardy's just, I don't think
it's hard to imagine it without him, isn't
it? Yeah. You know, and it was kind of like, you know, The Price is Right without Bob Barker. Mm-hmm. How is that going to go? Well, it's still, I guess, going strong with Drew Carey. So, you know, and how's Will Fortune, you know, without Pat Sajak? How's that going to go? So, it's amazing, though, how Alex Trebek's had to battle through this, yet he's still going strong, still has a great attitude about it. And I think the overwhelming amount of support that he's had, too, has meant a lot to him as well. So, that's great scrub and great dub there.
There's not a worse diagnosis than pancreatic cancer.
No, I know. And it's something that nobody needs to go through.
No.
So, but he's fighting it, and he's not letting it beat him. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's a diagnosis. I'm be honest. There's an extended member of the family right now that's same diagnosis, and it's a tough battle for their family to go through right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a brutal stuff. Brutal stuff. Never want to have to go through that. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline real quick. Brian is in Magazine. What's going on, Brian?
Hey guys, I read your poll question this morning, and it got me to thinking. about the hire, and there's two things that I'd kind of like to say about it. One is when you talk about him making the right hire, I think that he can completely go out there and make a very intelligent hire, and I have no doubt that whatever hire he makes will make perfect sense on paper and will look great, but at the same time, that's no guarantee that down the road that this is really going to pan out, because this is a very specific situation that I mean, it has to be a perfect fit. And sometimes it'll feel like a perfect fit and not work out. No better example than Brett Bielema. When he was hired, everyone lauded that as just a home run hire, an absolute perfect fit. He was a guy who would understand the state. He was a guy who would come in with, he had a pedigree, had a record that would be able to come in and really establish the program. Mm-hmm. And I don't fault anyone for him not working out, because I do feel like every metric pointed to him being the right choice. And I feel like when we hire a coach, that the metrics will say that he is the right guy, that he is a great fit, and that it will look great on paper. But I'm not going to vilify Hunter Yurecek if a couple years down the road it's not perfect. Yeah. At the same time, the other thing is, when it comes to specific candidates for the job, I feel like from hearing Hunter Yurecek talk and just seeing the way that he's done business and his excellent selection with Musselman, and the guy can clearly sell a program, because if you don't think that Musselman absolutely loved his job before he came to Arkansas, you're not paying attention, because that man had a passion where he was at, and he was able to pull him out when not many people even had him on the radar, and he was able to bring him in, and I give him a lot of credit for that. I think that he is a person who understands the psychology of a fan base. He understands the psychology of the state. In this situation, I do not think that he will be hiring a coordinator. I think that he's allowed himself this runway, as he said, of a few weeks left in the season so that he can put feelers out. I think he's going to put feelers out higher than anyone thinks that we can really achieve here in Arkansas, because he knows that with what we just went through, we need a name that we can trust, that we will not lose faith in. If he doesn't have immediate returns, I would not be surprised. And I'm not saying this will be a hire, but I would not be surprised if in the early part of him putting out feelers, if he doesn't talk to somebody like Bob Stoops. And I'm not saying that I think he'll come here necessarily, but yeah. I think that he's allowed himself this period of time, which was very intelligent, and the Western Kentucky game gave him the perfect justification to do it. He's given himself enough latitude between now and the signing period that he can afford to talk to some of these names that are pie in the sky and just see if he could sell them on the program before he moves on to, you know, his more expected choices.
Yeah, and appreciate the phone call, Brian. Sorry we're up against it, man. But no, that's the thing, is that if you're 100 year check, you start high, man. I mean, Bob Stoops, Urban Meyer, at least ask.
Yeah, and Bob Stoops, great name. Is that the right Stoops to be talking to?
I mean,
would Mark Stoops be a candidate you'd be interested in hearing from and talking to if you're Hunter Yurecek?
I mean, I've heard a lot worse.
Dude's done a great job at Kentucky.
Yeah.
You
could do a lot worse.
Defensive-minded coach, understands the league. You can say, well, that's not the Western Division. True.
Mm-hmm.
But you could do a lot worse than Mark Stoops.
A lot worse.
And Kentucky's football program will always live in the shadow of Rupp Arena, period, and Calipari and all that. So I don't think that would be a bad, you know, everybody talks about Bob Stoops. I think Mark Stoops might be the Stoops to be talking to.
Like I said, you could do a lot worse, for sure.
Yeah. Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.